Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I am a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide pregnancy and adoption services throughout all of Michigan, with offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, but it is our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is this radio show to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community. So we're really glad that you're listening in today. If you'd like to call in during the show with questions or comments, we would encourage that at 347-850-1100. Again, the number for call-in is 347-850-1100. And I am super excited today to be speaking with Shannon Robbins. Shannon, are you with us?
I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to be on Adoption Focus. And I know personally that you are a mom by adoption, as you and your husband completed an adoption through Adoption Associates just last year, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Last year in October, it was finalized, and we brought our daughter home in May.
Awesome. So you made it through the first year, and well, almost the second now. I'm super glad that you're with us today. We're going to be talking about the topic of becoming a parent through adoption. And for those who might be considering adoption, some of the factors that you and your husband weighed early on in the process and then as you progress through. So if you don't mind, we'll just go ahead and get started. And this topic is, you know, obviously very personal in nature, some of the things that we're going to talk about today. And this first topic in particular does certainly not apply to all couples who are considering adoption. But for many couples, infertility is the first challenge that they face in their journey to becoming parents. So I was hoping you wouldn't mind sharing your story with us.
Of course. So infertility is something that my husband and I did experience. So I'll just kind of briefly share our story. So it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, we decided to start trying to have a family. And I have a metabolic disorder that makes ovulation pretty difficult. So we, you know, sought the help of our healthcare professionals, and we used a couple of medications, and I was able to get pregnant, and we were so very excited. But unfortunately, I did have a miscarriage with our first pregnancy, and yeah, it was really, really hard. And then I was actually able to get pregnant again, and then also experienced another miscarriage. And then we tried for another year, and everything seemed like it was supposed to be working the way it was supposed to work, and we just couldn't get pregnant. And I decided that I just told my husband, I said, I can't do this anymore, because some of those medications that you're on really wreak havoc on your body and just kind of your emotional well-being. And so I told him, I said, you know, I can't put myself through this anymore. And I had shared with him previously, you know, my thoughts about, you know, maybe pursuing adoption to become parents. And that's where we ended up, and we went to an information session that Adoption Associates had in Midland, and we just talked to the gals that were there and then decided to put in our application, and then we just went ahead with the process. So, yeah, infertility definitely was where we started, but I will tell you that, you know, having experienced pregnancy twice, and then, you know, that loss, even though it was painful, it really solidified our desire to be parents. And, you know, we didn't want to just give up, even though we couldn't have a child, you know, born of our bodies.
So, yeah, you made several really good points there. And there are many books and articles on this topic of, you know, infertility and couples, you know, going from infertility to adoption. And that means choosing a new path and mm-hmm. you know, kind of shifting direction a little bit. And so I'm wondering what your thoughts are or what your experience was that you would be comfortable talking about that process for you and your husband in shifting your focus or moving beyond this hope and dream of a biological pregnancy into considering adoption, how that happened for you.
Well, you know, through the process of trying to, you know, become pregnant and have a child biologically, we had kind of talked about adoption, you know, off and on, because I think you always have in the back of your mind, you know, while you're going through the process that, okay, maybe this isn't going to work for us. You know, maybe we won't be able to get pregnant or, you know, have a child biologically. And so, you know, it wasn't like an unknown topic. But when I went to my husband and said, you know, I just can't do this anymore. You know, he was a little bit, I think, especially for men, because they don't necessarily experience all of those physical side effects of having to go through the fertility process. For them, it's a little bit like, well, maybe we should just try a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we just talked about it, and, you know, he was so just wanting to be a dad too, and not necessarily, it didn't matter to us anymore, because we got over that process of trying to become biological parents. And you kind of have to grieve that a little bit, I think, because it is a loss. I think people go into life always assuming that this is something that everybody gets the chance to do, and it doesn't always work out that way. So you kind of have to grieve that. And then just embrace the process of pursuing adoption. And, you know, we went through all the trainings and, you know, everything that you have to do to go through the application process. And you just learn more about it, and then you get excited. It's kind of like having a really, really, really long pregnancy.
Right. But, you know, you have touched on, obviously, the points and aspects of being, you know, emotionally and psychologically ready and in a place that you've kind of dealt with the issues that come along with the infertility, and that you made a conscious decision that adoption was the way that you wanted to form your family. Yeah. I read an article about second choice versus second best, which is a really unique way, I think, to think about it, because a lot of couples who are entering adoption after some issues with infertility have this sort of concept in their mind, and that distinction between adoption maybe not being the first choice or the first plan, but certainly not being considered second best.
Yes, definitely. And I think that once you make that choice as a person, as a family, as a couple that's pursuing adoption, it's not as so much, I didn't find anyways, that it was so much hard for us to accept that, but like our families and friends and people that you would talk about it with, they kind of were always, you know, you're not going to keep trying and stuff like, you know, just so for us, it was more of an experience of trying to convince other people in our lives that this was mm-hmm. the right choice. And yeah, so that was,
well,
I would, yeah.
I think that's interesting too, the comment that you're not going to keep trying. And in reality, what you did is that you tried really hard, just in a very mm-hmm. different way. You know,
yeah.
you waited and you completed your home study, and your actions and words were clearly reflective of a couple that wanted to become parents, not necessarily be pregnant, which is also something that we talk about.
Yeah, and I think that just for us, like having the experience of being pregnant and then losing a baby that was so precious to us just makes you realize like how much love that you have to share, and that you want to share that love with a child, whether that child is born of your body or is provided to you as such a huge gift in your life
mm-hmm.
from a birth parents.
Sure. So, in discussing challenges in adoption, Many couples find that the quote-unquote the waiting phase is difficult for them. And for any listeners that aren't exactly sure what that refers to, we're talking about the time after a couple has decided to pursue adoption and selected an agency and completed all the initial requirements, that home study. They then wait to be selected by a birth mother. And for many prospective adoptive couples, the waiting phase can be very difficult. And I was hoping you would talk about this with us from your perspective.
Yeah, I think that the what is it, that song, The Waiting is the Hardest Part? So it is Tom Petty, right? So I think that the waiting is definitely difficult. We personally experienced just the process of getting from the application to when your profile is actually live and birth parents can view it. That part was the hardest for us, and I think we experienced the most, like, impatient feelings during that phase.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, once our profile was live, it was just kind of exciting to go out there and see our profile, because we were, like, terrible about going out and looking at our profile all the time on the Adoption Associates website. And so we were.
You're not alone.
I know. I think probably most adoptive parents do that. We went out and we were looking at our profile and we were always like, oh, you know, I wonder if anybody's seen it. But then we experienced a pretty short window of waiting from the time that our profile was live until we were matched with a birth mom and a baby. And so we kind of had resigned ourselves is not the right word, but we were just kind of very content in that phase of, okay, you know, this is going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we're going to trust God's timing. You know, our profile is out there. People can, you know, potential birth moms can see our profile out on the website. And, you know, so when we got the phone call, I was actually like, really surprised. I mean, I think everybody's surprised when you get the phone call, but was kind of like, oh, I expected to wait for like another year. So I say that definitely the waiting is hard, and it's because you just have so many unknowns, and there's just so many, you know, factors that you have no control over. And so, not that we really actually have, it's just, you know, we have an illusion of control in our lives, I think, but definitely you feel like you don't have control over those things. And, so it was hard, but it was not, unbearable. It was almost exciting. And, you know, we were getting the nursery room ready and, we had like our bedding set and just, you know, just that excitement that any day you could get a phone call and, you know, be taking home a baby and become parents.
And then you did. That's right.
That's right.
When couples are in the early stages of learning about adoption, the concept of openness in adoption is something that seems scary or an area where there simply is a lack of understanding we sometimes see. What was this like for you and your husband as you were entering into the process and learning about openness?
So I think that, you know, definitely, you know, even though we had considered adoption and we had decided to pursue adoption, you know, we still didn't have a good understanding of the types of adoptions and what openness meant. And so, you know, you go through all of the training, as part of your home study process and part of becoming a waiting family. And, you know, that really helped to educate us on what it means to be in an open adoption arrangement. Because I think that you have that misconception, most people who haven't experienced adoption and even people who have chosen adoption before they're in the process, you know, you hear openness and you think, you know, oh my gosh, we're going to be, you know, visiting with, you know, the birth family every day, every week or every month. And, you know, just trying to, and I think that there's a misconception of co-parenting. Like I heard that a lot from other people who we then tried to educate about what it meant to be in an open adoption. So my husband was a little bit like, oh, I don't know, maybe we should only pursue a semi-open adoption. And I was kind of like, you know, like my thoughts always were, if a birth mom is willing to pick us for parenting her child. I would love to have a relationship with her or the birth father if that was also the case. And so I was always kind of on board with that. But and then Joe really came around, I think, once we had experienced all of the training and we learned about what it actually meant to be in an open adoption agreement with a birth family.
So, yeah, so your husband was a little more skeptical in the beginning, but
yeah.
It sounds like you guys kind of moved forward from there with the education, which is so important. And you make a great point about feeling gratitude and respect and honoring the birth mother. You therefore wanted some sort of ongoing connection with her. You guys, that isn't actually what transpired, but that is what you were seeking, correct?
It is, yes. And we do, with our daughter's birth mom, we do have an open adoption agreement, but I think it's been hard, I think. And we would love to be able to visit and things like that, but that just hasn't been the path that she was comfortable with pursuing. And so, but we would love, I think I've mentioned this before, is that I personally felt so much just love and connection for our daughter's birth mom. And I would love to be able to see her more and converse with her more. And I was not prepared for those feelings at all. And so I think that was another really surprising thing for me, because I think that a lot of adoptive parents go into it thinking, oh, I don't want to, you know, oh, I'll be okay with only this amount of contact. And when you, like, I personally have experienced desiring more contact than what we've had. So, and I just think that that's just a sign of just the amount of love that occurred between, you know, our daughter and her birth mom and us and the birth mom, and just because adoption is about love. I know that sounds kind of cliche, but it is. I mean, I just love everybody.
Well, and Shannon, too, you talked about entering in the process and your preconceived notions and ideas of what openness meant. And, you know, I think a lot of our listeners can relate with that, because that is the stereotype that every adoption and every birth mother wants full openness, and there's this concept of co-parenting, or we're going to see each other every weekend or even every month, and that really is not what we're talking about when we talk about open adoption. And also, you know, I think it's important to mention that with Adoption Associates, right now we're seeing somewhere around 50, maybe 55% of our adoptions fall in the category of what we would consider fully open. And that means some sort of ongoing contact, not co-parenting, not every week, not every month even. But so the rest of those really are more of a semi-open arrangement that involves the picture and letter exchange, not necessarily face-to-face contact. So I like hearing you talk about that for those that are listening, to try to help clear up that myth a bit.
Yeah, it's definitely, we have found, you know, once we understood the concept of what it meant to be in open, semi-open, closed adoptions, it was really like having to try to educate all of our friends and family about what that really means was more difficult, I think, than us gaining that understanding, because I think that there is that just negative association with what it means to be in an open adoption arrangement.
Sure. And I love the fact that so many of our adoptive parents, just as you and your husband did, you became the experts after that very intensive, you know, home study and education period. Now you took on that role of educating others too, which is nice.
Yes. And even if it's just a few people that you have contact with, at least you can try to break down that stereotype of what it means.
Absolutely.
You know, because you don't know who those people are going to be able to then educate as well. So.
Sure, sure. In some instances with Adoption Associates, a newborn may need to enter agency host care prior to going home into the custody of the adoptive parents. Obviously not in every case, but there are some instances where that is necessary. I know that in your adoption this was the case, and I was hoping you could talk about how you felt about that, because mm-hmm. that's another area that is scary for a lot of people.
It is. And I will tell you that we experienced a lot of fear around host care. And I think that where that fear stemmed from was that it felt like it was one more thing that would keep us from bringing our baby home. But that ended up not being the case at all. We were fearful of it, but our daughter went and was with one of the families that does host care. And the host care mom and host care dad were just absolutely amazing and just were so welcoming to us. I mean, we were able to come and they let us spend, several hours at a time because we had a drive from where we live to where our daughter was in host care. And, they would let us stay for, 2 or 3 hours and just hold her and do all of the care that she needed. And it was just honestly an amazing experience. And I felt like it was one more person that was loving our daughter. And, we were just so thankful to mm-hmm. the family that had her she was in host care for just over a week. And so it wasn't a super long time, but it's not, I think that we felt that way because we were just afraid because we felt like, oh my gosh, if our daughter's going to host care, then that means that maybe we won't be able to bring her home or it's one more mm-hmm. thing to keep us from bringing her home. But it really is, I also think, for the protection of, the adoptive families too, because I can't even imagine, had her adoption turned out differently, what it would have been like to bring her home but then have to take her back. So I think
sure.
that it's just a level of protection too to kind of guard your own heart a little bit and to not have that association with bringing her, home or your child home and then not having to keep her home. And which is exactly why I believe that they do host care because of the, situations that can happen in adoptions. And so it was definitely a really good experience. And I honestly am happy that we had that experience because, when we choose to adopt again, which I know we will, that there's that fear is gone because we know that he or she, whatever future child, will be well cared for and loved, and it's for the benefit of everyone, it's not something to keep you from bringing your child home.
Right, and that's nice to hear because this is an issue that a lot of people have concerns about. And as a caseworker with Adoption Associates, it's easy for me to go on and on about our wonderful host parents and what they offer in terms of a loving home environment in a mm-hmm. critical interim period of time. But it's much different once you live and experience that. So
yeah.
I appreciate, what you've said about that. And I hope that resonates with some of our listeners.
Yeah. They were just amazing. Like, they helped us get the car seat put in when we did bring her home, and it was so great. Like, they were awesome. And just really thankful to have had that experience. And for Ashlyn, I know she's not going to remember, but for her to have experienced that and, just somebody else loving on her. And
sure.
Better than that.
And, our host parents talk about liking to stay in contact, too, and many mm-hmm. of them have remained in contact with the adoptive parents and the children over the years. And
yeah.
it's extended family, which is, I think, really what you're kind of referencing here.
Yeah, for sure.
So far, we've discussed some of the challenges that adoptive parents experience on their journey to parenthood. But we do need to take a second, or I would like to take a second, to talk about the joys of adoption. And I don't think I need to say anything more than that because I know you
No.
are full of joy and want to talk about this.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I never thought that I would experience the kind of love that I've and just happiness of becoming a mom. It doesn't matter to me that, our daughter was not born of my body. It just matters that I am there to be her mom. And I love her, and I think that some people think that oh my gosh, you adopt a child and it's kind of like that concept that you had talked about second best versus second choice,
right?
And
mm-hmm.
I don't even like, it's not something that I think about even on a daily basis. You know, my daughter is my daughter. It doesn't matter that she wasn't born of my body. And I have so much just reverence, I think, for her birth mom, because she went through some kind of health struggles to for Ashlyn to be born, because she was born kind of early. And just knowing that someone loves your child and her child so much that she went through that physical experience just makes you appreciate it even more. And I don't even think I can completely put into words how much joy there is when you bring your child home. And mm-hmm. there's a little bit, you know, we were first-time parents, so there was a little bit of like, oh my gosh, can we do this? I'll never forget when we brought our daughter home. She was, you know, tiny, tiny. And we get her home and we're feeding her her first bottle, and we were using the pre-made formula, and I like cut my finger on the little silver tab thing that you pull off the top, and she was kind of giving us a look like, who are these people and can they do this?
Were they really approved?
Yeah, right. And, but you know, that fades. It was just kind of, we laugh about that. It was just a comical
right.
just the look on her face was, you know, and they're so little, they don't really understand what's going on, but, you know, they kind of have that, you know, emotional reaction to your nervousness. And, but just, I think one of the things that we experienced too during the process, was just recognizing that, we want to be parents because we want to love a child, and we want, and it's not about us anymore. It's about her or him, or, you know, just about raising them mm-hmm. and loving them and caring for them. And because I think we all go into wanting to be parents kind of from a little bit of a selfish perspective. But then once you become a parent, it becomes so much not about you anymore. And just being so content in that is just, it just feels right. And yeah. I love being a mom. It's the best job ever. And there are days when it's hard, because my daughter was up last night at 2 a.m., 4 a.m., and then again at 6 a.m., and I could hear her in her room, Mommy, Mommy. And so, but, you know, it's okay. And it's just, you feel joy even in those moments when you're completely exhausted. And
of course,
you love them. So.
So, Shannon, you mentioned earlier that you and your husband, Joe, at some point, you know, are committed to growing your family by adoption again. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering what your own personal lessons learned through your first adoption are that you would carry forward when you go for a second adoption, as well as some words of advice for other couples who maybe are where you and Joe were, you know, a few years back and struggling with the infertility and, you know, thinking maybe a little bit about adoption. Talk to us about, you know, lessons learned and words of advice.
So I would definitely say that one of the biggest lessons that we learned was that we needed to trust the process, trust the agency, trust the caseworkers, trust God, because I think it's that whole idea of you don't really have control over something, and so you kind of try to hold on to it tight, I think, and fret about it and worry about it. So I think that just that's the biggest lesson that we learned, is just to trust the process. Trust you guys. You know what you're doing. This is not your first rodeo. you know the process. You are, you know, and I think that for us was, I think we'll go into our second adoption process just feeling much more relaxed about it and not so just kind of nervous about the timing, and just to trust that it'll happen, because that child that is meant to come to you will come to you, you know, in the timing that is supposed to happen. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, so I think that's just the biggest lesson, is just to trust the process and trust you guys and not fret about the little things, because sometimes that can be easy to do. So, and I mean, it's
sure.
not to say that all of those little things aren't important, because they are, but, you know, just to kind of let it go a little bit and and just enjoy the process more. I think this time around we probably will enjoy it and do a lot less fretting over it. So,
right. And you touched on the issue of trusting, you know, that it will happen even though we don't know the timing. And that's hard for many people, especially those that have, you know, tried through many fertility treatments or what have you to become parents, and, you know, managing timelines and calendars and schedules and those things, and turning that over and letting go of that, if that's something that someone has dealt with for a while, can be very difficult. But I think that your point here is, you know, in trust and in trusting the agency and knowing that this will happen when's the right time, but we don't know when that time is. So yeah, that's a really good point. And it's a hard topic and a hard issue.
It is. Well, and it's the beauty of adoption, in our opinion, is that if you stick it out, if you do what you're supposed to do, you know, and you stay on the waiting families list, you will end up with a child. And that's not the case with, you know, trying to become a parent biologically. And, you know, so you just have to stay the course, trust the process, and it will happen.
Big thank you, Shannon, for today. I so
thank
appreciate you.
Thank
excellent
you
information.
Me.
Oh, you're very
welcome. I hope
and
it
for,
impacts one family that's wanting to adopt. So.
Oh, I think it will impact well more than one. We will continue this discussion on future podcasts, and, you know, maybe we'll have to have you back after your second adoption. Who knows?
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. For our listeners that are looking to connect with Adoption Associates, you may call us at 800-677-2367. Again, 800-677-2367. Or you can reach us on the web at adoptionassociates.net. And remember that Adoption Focus airs every Tuesday at 11. I do want to mention that next week, being Thanksgiving week, is a perfect time for us to make recognition that this is National Adoption Month. So next week show will be from the archives, one of our more popular shows, just in honor of what's a really special week, and particularly next Tuesday, Adoption Day, for many counties in Michigan, in celebrating and finalizing many adoptions across our state. So I appreciate our listeners for tuning in today, and hope to be hearing you again in the future. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.